Hi there, and welcome to the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. We're Alana, Kyle, and Tira, friends who have a heart for intimacy and long to uncover God's truth and design for sexual freedom within marriage. Welcome here. All right, so we're having another episode of the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. So to start off, before I tell you too much about the episode, we're going to read a review. So title is Thank You for Your Ministry. They gave us 5 stars and said, I found the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast on Instagram and I'm so grateful that I did. I have some deep-seated grief and shame when it comes to my sexual past and a choice I made when I was young, and those issues have followed me into my marriage. Learning about sex as God has designed for marriage has helped me break past some of these barriers that my husband and I have experienced as a result of my past. Thank you for sharing about sex from a biblical perspective. Your podcast has been so valuable to me in my healing journey. Keep doing the kingdom work. I'm Brittany. Oh, well, that was lovely. Thanks, Brittany. I'm glad we've been helpful. Golly. Incredible. Okay, so I am here with Aaron and Jennifer Smith. So it's just myself, Alana, today, and them. But to get to know them better, and what we've been doing at the beginning of the episodes is asking like a just get to know you kind of question. So the question today is, do you collect anything?
Well, first, hi everyone. We're so excited to be here, and so thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, I was trying to spend time.
Do we collect?
You collect Legos.
Oh yeah, I do. I'm kind of a nerd. My oldest boy, he was really into Legos from a young age, and we kind of bonded over the little minifigs. And so he would get a set, and he's like, "Mom, check out this little minifigure." And then as time went on, I noticed that the minifigures were changing in the sets, and I liked the older ones. And so we just started collecting them, and we made these cases. And so I have my own little collection going on.
She's got a nice little glass case with all these Lego men in there.
That's goofy.
Weapons and stuff. It looks awesome.
That's so cute.
I do. We also,
all right, Aaron, do you collect anything?
Real quick, we also collect rocks with the kids. Like anytime we go somewhere, because we like to go outside and adventure. And the kids will always have pockets full of rocks, and I have to limit them. I'm like, you can take 3, okay? That's it.
But yeah, not really. I was just thinking, I have a tub full of cords in the garage that I need to get rid of.
Throw them away. Yeah.
Not really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I collect pottery mugs.
Oh, nice.
You know what? We collect mugs too.
Well, not the nice ones that you're talking
not pottery
about.
Mugs. We have
ones that people have given us.
I just thought of another thing we collect. Mm. We do a lot of road tripping with the kids, and we collect magnets wherever we go.
Oh, that's good. We should share our fridge.
We have a fridge literally full of magnets from all over the place.
That is very cool.
Yes, we do collect.
Where's like the farthest place, like it'd be road tripping, like driving?
We do both that and flying. Yeah.
Yeah, probably, but mostly nowadays with 5 kids, we're
I
road
think
tripping.
The farthest from, because we're in Oregon, the farthest I would say is either Florida down south or Maine, but that East Coast.
Okay. I mean, that would have been a big trip.
Without our kids, we have a magnet from Zambia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have some magnets from other countries, but the kids haven't left the country yet. We did before we had kids.
Yeah, same with us. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to read a verse, and then we'll get going into this episode. So the verse today is, actually, I got it from your book. I was like, open the first page, and then I was like, oh, this is the perfect verse to have for this episode. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. James 5:16. Okay, so why don't you tell everyone who's listening a little bit more about yourself, like who you are, what you guys do, and where you live, maybe a hobby you have.
Okay.
So Aaron and I have been married for 16 and a half years, and it's really flown by. Like, I just can't believe that when I say it. I'm like, no way. Yeah. We also have 5 kids. So our oldest is almost going to be 11. And then we have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Did I get off
that? Yeah, the 3-year-old acts like a 10-year-old, though. Yeah. She tries to.
She's fun. We live in Central Oregon, and we've been working through our ministry for like over a decade. I think it's been like 12 years.
Yeah, 12 years. It started as unveiledwife.com, which was Jennifer, you know, sharing intimate story of how God was healing her and working in her and our marriage with sexual issues, actually. And then that turned into Unveiled Wife and HusbandRevolution.com. But then over the last handful of years, we've combined everything into marriageaftergod.com, which is where all of our content goes. Like, she still has her Instagram, her personal Instagram, and my personal Instagram. So, but the main focus of our ministry has been marriageaftergod.com, which is also the name of our podcast.
I was going to say, our podcast and our book, Marriage After God, we wrote a book to encourage couples to consider, like, what God has for their marriage.
Yeah, how their marriage is to be seen as a ministry, mm-hmm. and it's their first ministry, their most important ministry, but how God uses marriages when they're following Him for His kingdom outside there.
Love that.
And so, yeah, the podcast we've been doing, Marriage After God podcast, for, gosh, I think it's been
four or five years.
Yeah. Nice.
And so, and we write books. We have lots of books, with the newest one we're going to be talking about, The Marriage Gift.
Yeah.
With our extra time, with our extra time and the hobby question. Aaron and I started jiu-jitsu. He started in December and I started in February. And so now we fight for time, like, who's going to go next?
And four of our five kids do jiu-jitsu. So we're kind of like a jiu-jitsu family now.
We live there.
For right now.
Fighting for time to go fight.
Actually going now. We go to jiu-jitsu. You went this morning.
Crazy. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Okay. So I feel like you're the background you guys have had. So so Jennifer, your unveiled wife stuff, when did that start? Like, at what point in your life was that?
So the first 4 years of our marriage was just a lot of challenge and kind of learning how to be married and not giving up on each other or on God. There was just a lot of struggle there. And Aaron encouraged me to, as we were going through the healing process, to start writing it out, because he knew that that was like a passion of mine and something that helped me. And blogging was really big back then. So this would have been 2011 and 12.
It was getting big. It wasn't like, we were right on that cusp of blogging becoming the main, social media being explosive.
So I knew that I wanted to be talking about our marriage and what I was learning, but I felt so insecure about going there. So I chose a name, The Unveiled Wife, to kind of hide my identity.
It's funny
because the Lord, like, 3 days in was like, you realize the whole point of, like, what you're doing is transparency and, like, showing other people how to be unveiled. So you kind of need to, like, show who you are. And I was like, okay, fine. It was really cool. And just got a lot of positive response from what I was sharing. And we quickly realized, I think it was like maybe 2 months later, that all the wives that were reading my stuff wanted to hear from a husband's point of view. And so we started Husband Revolution for the husbands. And so we kind of in tandem would tackle topics and talk about things that we were going through, what God was teaching us. Never really from the standpoint of like, look, we know what we're doing. It was more like, oh, we suck.
Yeah, I always tell people, we're not marriage experts. We just use marriage as a platform to talk about what God's teaching us.
Yeah, we're experiencing this thing, and it's actually opening up our eyes to just how God designed marriage. And it was really cool. I've really loved doing this ministry. And a big part of our ministry has always been prayer, because that was the anchor that held us together through all those hard times and challenges. And even still, we hit a bump in the road, and it's like, we know we have to pray about this, and we have to invite God to help us navigate it, because in our flesh, we fail. We know this.
Yeah.
And so just using our platforms to encourage couples to pray together and to be bold about it.
So pretty much from day one, we've been sending daily email prayers to, it used to be just wives, and then now we do it to husbands and wives. We have an email that goes out every day, unless we forget to schedule prayers, which happens sometimes, but.
We get called out on it right away. Hey,
we get emails.
We get
emails.
Where you at?
Hey, I need my so we.
I love when people do that. Hey,
yeah.
That's awesome.
But we've known that, God commands us to pray, calls us to pray. It's a gift that He's given us. It's the marriage gift, the way we've called it that. So our encouragement is that couples would pray with each other. So we've been doing that pretty much from day one. Mm-hmm. Then we've written several books on this idea of praying for your spouse, praying for your husband, praying for your wife,
praying for your children,
praying for your future husband, future wife. Now this 365 prayers for your marriage, which is our newest book.
Which I feel like was a seed. Yeah, it's awesome. It was a seed God put in our hearts like long ago. It just is a robust,
it's daunting
resource. And so we wanted to make sure that we weren't like duplicating a lot of the topics, and just, we wanted to cover different aspects of marriage, because I feel like, and maybe you can correct me, but even when we're praying for our marriage, we tend to stick to those top, you know, three things that are really hard for us. Mm-hmm. But really, there's so many different aspects of marriage that need to be prayed for on a daily basis. So
yeah.
Just wanted to inspire couples to go there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that. So we're doing a bit of like a series, I guess, on spiritual intimacy. And I can tell you guys have a heart for this, obviously, mm-hmm. which is incredible. But I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on like that form of intimacy, mm-hmm. like spiritual intimacy. Like, what is that to you guys? And what does it look like in a marriage to have like solid spiritual intimacy?
Well, I think when I think of the word intimacy, it's being known. And mm-hmm. when you're willing to pray with your spouse or pray for your spouse, you are revealing your heart before them, before God. And it's a really powerful and beautiful thing. What I've experienced in my marriage with Aaron has just been just extraordinary. Because whenever you're revealing your heart, there's risk involved. You're like, okay, if I say this mm-hmm. thing, or if I make it known, is it going to be a conversation? And how are they going to feel? How are they going to respond? And so there's that kind of insecurity of not knowing. But then once you do it and you get the response of grace and mercy and sometimes forgiveness and love, it's just, it reaffirms that you know each other and that you truly are choosing to love who that person is. But Aaron, you've mentioned recently, like prayer is even sometimes more intimate than sex, because with sex, it's a physical intimacy where you are, you know, being close to one another with your bodies. Mm-hmm. But spiritual intimacy and being able to pray with one another is even deeper, because you're exposing your true self, everything inside of you that you could hide, right? That you could hold back. But your willingness in revealing it is really a good thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's a coincidence, because I don't believe in coincidences, but I don't think it's a mistake that, like, in the Old Testament, when it talks about two people come together sexually, it uses the word "no." He knew her. And that's exactly what it is. So physical sex is it's a form of knowledge that other people don't get. It's
exclusive.
It's exclusive. Yeah. So the knowledge you have between you and your spouse, that's not to be shared with other people. The Bible even says to keep the marriage bed pure, and that you don't invite others into that space. Knowledge wise, that's a knowledge that's shared between just us. In the same way, I mean, even Jesus, when he teaches us to pray, so, you know, in other places says, go into your closet and pray, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It shows this idea that prayer is supposed to be something much more intimate than just, here I am just talking in front of people. And, you know, you could pray like that, but it's showing the depth of what prayer is. And so when you're with your spouse praying, like you were just saying, Jennifer, there's many couples, sadly, that can have sexual intimacy, but have no emotional and no spiritual intimacy. They have no interest in knowing each other. They have no interest in going deep into the hearts of each other. And they're just, they physically connect thinking that's the thing that they need only.
Right.
And they're totally fine with, maybe not totally fine, but they go their separate ways.
I was going to say, maybe it's not even an awareness that maybe they think they're being intimate because they're being sexual, but they've just kind of neglected the spiritual intimacy of their relationship. And if that's you listening right now, like, be encouraged that you can evaluate your marriage and say, okay, we can do this together.
And with me and you in the early years of our marriage, when we were struggling with sex, not being able to have sex with each other, our spiritual intimacy was the thing that was keeping us close. Now that over time, over that time of that getting harder, slowly was like getting eroded, mm-hmm. Which is where God had to step in, and he really like helped us out. We would pray more, and mm-hmm. we would be seeking God more, and we would be and coming together more. And there was often I was reminding you of the truth, and you were coming back to me and saying, hey, I know this didn't work, but I still love you, and we're here. I'm here for you. So mm-hmm. that spiritual intimacy is more of a necessity. It's a non-negotiable, where sex is negotiable. I'm not saying marriages should not have sex. What I'm saying is there's some marriages that can't have sex. And so can they be intimate? Yeah. Absolutely. Can they be close? Can they have a closer relationship than many marriages? Absolutely. And so spiritual intimacy, knowing, having that level of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, where I have freedom to share my temptations, share my sin, share my my fears, share my rejoicing with my wife.
Gratitude. Oh, that's so beautiful when you're praying with your spouse and you overhear them talking to God about how they're grateful for you. And you're like, what? Like,
right. When I come to
it's affirming.
I come to you and I'm like, I need you to pray for me. I'm struggling with my identity as a father. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling in my role as a father. And you can now pray over me. And then now that you know that, you can say, hey, why do you feel like you're struggling? How can I help you? How can we work on that? And now we've just made a connection that wasn't there before, because maybe you didn't know I was struggling. Maybe you didn't know I had a hard day with kids. Maybe you didn't, or vice versa. You come to me with a relationship. You're like, man, I don't know where I stand with this person. I feel like I've messed up. I feel like they're mad at me. I feel like, and I can be like, man, I'm so sorry you feel that way. Let's pray about that. How can I help you? Mm-hmm. And that spiritual intimacy, many marriages don't have.
Yeah. It's like a deep vulnerability, like to expose your fears, your struggles, and present them. Yeah. Like, this is what is so hard right now for me. And this is what I'm struggling with. It's really, really difficult, especially if couples like you were kind of saying, Jennifer, like don't have this yet or aren't sure how to navigate this. So if that's a couple, say they're like, well, you know, we have sexual intimacy down, but you know, spiritual intimacy is kind of non-existent. Mm-hmm. Where should a couple start? Like, what does that even look like to rebuild that if they haven't really had that?
I think the first place,
from scratch.
I think the first place is just to make it a habit, you know, once a day, and go to them and say, how can I be praying for you?
Yeah. Even if it's not with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you text them or write a little note to yourself to remind yourself, okay, well, these are the things that I'm going to be praying for my spouse. and that's an easy way, especially if you're not very comfortable praying together, you can still make an effort to pray for each other and know and let each other know that you're praying for each other. And then the next step would be to pray together. It's something that Aaron and I did for a long time, was make it a point to pray before we went to sleep at night. Yeah. And Aaron, you already mentioned this, but there was a time that spiritual intimacy was a challenge.
It
got harder for us because of our experience, our circumstances. But my faith started to cripple, and I doubted, and I was frustrated with God. And I remember feeling like I can't pray. Like, I felt like I can't even go to him right now. I was just so full of anger. And Aaron stood in the gap for us, and he, I know, was struggling too, but he was willing to make the effort to pray at night and to cover us in prayer. And I just want to encourage couples, like, if you're in a relationship where maybe your spouse feels that way, feels like their relationship with God is rocky, or they can't go to him or don't know how to, you can stand in the gap for your spouse and you can make an effort to pray still. And it was life-changing for me. It comforted me. Even if I didn't tell him that, it brought me peace. It made me feel close to God through him. And so we can still make efforts in that, even if, you know, one spouse is or feels like they can't.
I would agree with you. You mentioned text message. I think there's a lot of couples that might feel some sort of anxiety. Like, how am I going to go to my spouse, maybe a wife or to her husband, and say, hey, how can I pray for you, if they've never done that before? Or maybe they've done that before and they've been rejected, and so there's this fear of like rejection again. Or a husband who's wants to step up in some form of spiritual leadership and wants to engage his wife in that way might have a anxiety about just saying it out of nowhere, maybe not knowing what to say. Text messages, we live in a text message world.
I was gonna say, even distance, because we know some, you know, military,
that's true,
families or people who are traveling,
Text message is a really easy way to start, because there's something easy about writing out a short message and then waiting for a response and not having to look at the person.
Being just, face to face.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just being honest. That can make that easier. And then, but what it does is it's a seed that gets planted that gets to grow. And then maybe the spouse comes home and they're like, hey, I really appreciate that. Thank you for asking to pray for me. Or you, when they come up, hey, I just want you to know, I did pray for you today and I hope your day was better. Or, and then also always going back to, you know, prayers. I mean, we're talking about prayer today as spiritual intimacy, but that's definitely not the only thing. Prayer is a very intimate thing, because you're doing it with your spouse. But being in the Word of God, maybe sending some scripture to us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was reading this today and it really encouraged me. I want to encourage you as well. Just send that along. Find ways of, you know, maybe before bed or in the morning, reading the Bible together, asking what God's teaching them, those sorts of things.
And doing this, we call it marriage ministry because that's been our topic of focus. It's just sharing our marriage and having a focus of prayer. We've gotten a lot of responses from couples about, you know, how they might feel insecure to be praying out loud in front of each other and how it does feel like an intimate thing. And so there's some fears or frustration around it. And that also motivated us to want to get this resource out, the marriage gift, because we wanted something easy for couples to have in their hand and go to a prompt that would kind of get the ball rolling and get them started. And the ultimate goal is that they would take this book and make it their own. So maybe they start out praying for whatever the day's topic is, but they make it their own depending on what the details of their marriage specifically is and what they need.
Well, and there's something, I don't know if you've experienced this, but having a book, something that it's like it's a guide where instead of you sitting there like, okay, now I'm going to have to dig deep in my heart and just start saying everything that I'm thinking, or which could, like we said, there's a lot of marriages that they could pray quietly. They could pray with others. They could pray alone, but when it comes to praying with their spouse, it feels impossible. It feels hard. It feels uncomfortable. It feels, again, because it's a very intimate thing. Having a book that they can go to, either they can read individually or they can sit there and they can read together. They can take turns. Maybe you read one night and maybe the husband reads the other night. And what that does is that it breaks the ice. It makes it something like, oh, now we're doing it.
We're
building these neural pathways now.
It's tangible.
Yeah. We know we can do it. Like, oh, that I read that. Yeah. That I wouldn't have come up with that prayer, but I understand what it's praying about. I understand. We should be praying about that topic too. Mm-hmm. Let's bring that up tomorrow. Like that's something I actually was dealing with yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So
good. No, I think that's awesome. So with your book, you guys share your heart for prayer and like that had such a passion. So who was it? Like, how was that first instilled in you guys? Because so many people are like, oh my gosh, like I would love to, you know, set up my kids to have this same passion. Like how was it that you guys came to know that you needed the solid foundation of prayer and spiritual intimacy going into your marriage?
I'll go way, way back to my childhood. Yeah. I wasn't raised in a super like religious home or anything. We did Christmas and Easter and holidays like that. My dad took us a little bit more regularly, but there was talk about prayer and God and things like that. My aunt would be the one that has all the cousins in the back and, you know, something randomly would come up and she's like, we need to pray for this thing.
Yeah.
And she would get going on it. And sometimes we would chime in and sometimes we would just listen. But that was kind of the initial, like, this is how you pray. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, so you could just pray whenever and about whatever. This is cool.
Yeah.
And then as I grew in my faith and grew up, I just realized that I had a huge need to feel close to God. Like I recognized him as my father and wanted to be close to him. And prayer was the avenue. Prayer was the gift. Prayer was the opportunity to say, God, I need you. And when Aaron and I started our relationship, we were friends for a very long time before we started dating. But even in dating, like our hearts, we took it very seriously. We both knew that we wanted to get married young and we kind of didn't enter into a relationship without
I kind of told you saying it. I said, I just want you to know my intention is marriage. So
I was like, sweet. If you don't have any interest in that, let's So we often prayed for our marriage and for our future and for everything that we were going through for each other.
We like, pray pretty much every night before we
even if it was a phone call
to each other.
Yeah. And then just to wrap this up, my side of the story, when he proposed, he opened up his Bible and there was a couple of pieces of paper in there with handwriting on it and they were all dated. And he's going through them. He goes, these are just some prayers that I have written out over the time. I did keep them. Yeah. Of course I kept them. And the last one he pulls up and it's all about his future wife. And you just hear his heart about his desire for a wife. And then he looks at me and he goes, you're my answer to this prayer. And I was like, yes. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I prayed a long time for a future wife.
Yeah.
For me, I grew up in a home. Both my parents were first generation believers. And took me to church every Sunday. And one thing that I remember growing up is my dad prayed for us every single night. never missed it. He just, they prayed. And then same story, we'd be driving and then we'd see a car accident. My mom would be like, we got to pray for them right now. Or, yeah. I mean, and my mom's still that way. Like, they just always prayed. They prayed with me, prayed for me. They taught me to pray. And so it was kind of it didn't seem unnatural to me. That was a gift that my parents gave me. So for the parents listening, just start praying with your kids every single day. And for everything, pray over meals, pray before bed. If they get hurt, pray for them. If they're angry, pray with them. If they get in trouble, pray with them.
If there's someone you know that is going through something, invite them to pray. I had this really cool experience with my 10-year-old son. Everybody was in the car, but we had a friend who sent me a text about her child and just a situation that was really sad. And so I said, you guys, we got to pray. And I didn't even get to start praying because my 10-year-old started praying.
Yep.
And what really touched me is he prayed for the husband and wife to experience joy amidst this hard thing. Those were his words. And I'm sitting there like ready to weep because I'm like, okay, God, I see the power of prayer in my son already. And I thank you. Thank you that he's caught on because this is going to change his life.
Yes.
Another thing that makes it easy with children is not having too big of expectations of them in prayer. Like, we invite them to pray. Like, we want, like, if we're having a family Bible time and one of our children wants to pray at the end, we let them pray and we let that be the prayer. We don't make them feel like that wasn't adequate.
The younger ones are always fun because, like, our three-year-old will look around the room and just say things that she sees. It's so cute.
Yeah. But we let her, and you know what? And I tell them, I say, you know, God loves the simplicity and the pureness of your guys' prayers. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't need to be something extravagant. I mean, Jesus makes it very clear, like,
big words,
be honest and truthful. And
when it comes to prayer, whether it's praying with your spouse or praying with your children or praying with friends or your community, I think the biggest thing to know and receive is that as you practice it, it becomes easier. It really does.
Yes.
And so those things that make you feel insecure or fearful, they do go away. I mean,
it's kind of just like sex, right? Like,
the more you do that,
at the beginning, you like, it's vulnerable. It's, you're unsure. It's awkward, and maybe uncomfortable. And then as you do it more, it gets better. I feel like, there's so much of the reflection. Same in this case, like, you don't expect to suddenly be an expert at pickleball if you've never played pickleball.
That's probably another hobby of ours that we have, but I love pickleball. There's been times where he's like, we go on a date and he's like, we're going to play pickleball. I'm like, thank you. Let me win. No.
You have to because you expect, like, okay, well, it's just talking to God, like, of course, okay, fine, I'll, like, it'll be great, I'll be totally, it'll be natural, it'll be no problem. But you're like, oh wait, you clam up. Or if, like, someone else is praying, you're thinking about what you should be praying instead of, like, listening to them praying, right? So it takes time and you got to get comfortable with it. So absolutely. So with the topic of prayer, what if, so it's like a relationship where one of them, like, isn't really comfortable, they haven't really incorporated it before. How would a spouse who is more comfortable, like, bring it up with them? Like, is it just like, I mean, like, would you just pray for them first? Like,
I would imagine it depends on their personality, right? So there's going to be some that probably are very easy to be forward. Like, hey, like, I know this is uncomfortable, but I'd love to pray for you. And don't worry about saying anything. You don't have to, like, make them feel safe to be in that space. But you just want to bless them that way. And you want to talk to God for them. And you want to, the word is intercede. You want to stand in the gap, as in the God says in the Old Testament, is there anyone that will stand in the gap between me and you? And so, kind of just being straightforward and just doing it. Then there might be others that might feel a little bit more trepidatious, like, how do I bring it up? And I would say there's nothing wrong with praying for them in private to start with. There's been so many times I've prayed for my wife. There's something that I want to bring up. There's something that's going on. There's something that she's going on in her life. And I'm like, I just, my first impression, I could be forward and I could be upfront, and that's my personality. And so my first response is like, I'm just going to go straight and hit it head on. I'm like, what's going on? And then there's been times that the Holy Spirit's like, why don't you just ask me about it?
And then we'd be driving somewhere and I'd be like, hey, I want to talk to you about this thing I've been working on. And he's like, no way.
I'm not kidding. I literally just started praying about that yesterday. And so there's
so good.
When Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, he starts off with saying, don't be like the hypocrites. And what he's saying in that, he's saying, I want you to come to me knowing that who you're coming to. I want you to come to me with a true heart, not with a face, not with a mask.
Yeah. Or like checking off the box.
Yeah, but it's not about the other part of it is actually believing that that you have what you ask for. Now, this is not me saying that everything you pray, you're going to receive. But when the Bible teaches us to believe that we have what we ask for when we pray, it's knowing that God is capable of doing exactly what he desires to do.
And trusting him.
And trusting that he'll do it. Mm-hmm. And so if I come to him first, like, hey, God, there's this thing going on in my marriage. There's this thing going on with my wife. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what's up. Can you help me? God will help. Now, it may not look the way I'm thinking right away. Yeah. Often it's something changes in me. Like, oh, right. I have a wrong heart on this. I need to have grace for my wife. This is something that she's going through. I'm just going to be patient. Or he starts working in my wife, which here's the thing. He's already working in my wife. Mm-hmm. Like that's what God does by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit's in the world conviction and of righteousness and judgment. And that's what he's doing. And so I can trust him. I can come to him and trust him.
Yeah. My encouragement to answer that question was going to be that if one spouse is more willing than the other, just remember that God is working on both of you guys regardless. So the person that's willing has to be patient and learn patience in the waiting and knowing how to kind of enter into that space with their spouse. And then the spouse who may be a little bit more hesitant gets to learn how to have courage and how to step up in those areas. And
well, maybe even beginning, they're learning to receive from their spouse.
Yeah.
I'm just going to receive this. I don't know how I feel about it, but
totally.
Humility.
Yeah. Okay. So that kind of brings me to another thought. We had some questions about this and I was like, oh, okay, I'll save these questions for you guys. So they were talking about spiritual leadership and how to have those conversations if that's not happening, or what spiritual leadership looks like or practically within a marriage, because kind of what you were saying was right with like, there's differing, you know, how someone is experiencing their faith.
Yeah.
Obviously we don't all feel the same way. We don't all hear from God the same way. When we travel different journeys than our spouse in some areas of our life in just different seasons. Right. So like, but spiritual leadership, how would you navigate that and have those conversations if you're like, well, my husband should be leading, but he's not, or, you know, like those kinds of things. Cause I feel like we get those questions a lot.
Yeah. I have heard too from wives. They kind of want this formula or answer solution of how do I, you know, what should I in order to get this result? I'm not going to answer that, but I will say that we have an incredible influence in our spouse's life for the husband and the wife. And when we walk in our own integrity and choosing righteousness over sin and walking in the light, like that is going to influence your spouse.
Yeah.
So regardless if they step up the next day after seeing you do something right in leadership, I can't answer that. I can't guarantee that. But I do know that they're watching, that they see, and that it is encouraging. There's been plenty of times that Aaron has chosen to walk the right way and it encourages me to want to follow him. And I'm sure there's been times that I've done something or have encouraged you in some way to make a right choice because of how I was walking. So I think we do it for each other and we must not forget that.
I was thinking about this as you were talking and as you asked the question, I think there could be a mistake in when we say spiritual leadership. So there's some wives who might think, am I not allowed to pray and read the Bible and teach my kids and do all these things because my husband should be doing things. Right. I think there's something different between, because each one of us are individuals yet one body in the body of Christ. Correct. And that's that on a smaller level, the marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. So you have two individuals becoming one body. And the wife represents the church, the husband represents Christ. And then there's spiritual roles in those things that the Bible teaches. But my wife has her own spiritual walk with God. Her spiritual walk is not contingent on my spiritual walk.
Right.
Now I can influence it and hinder it. So I have a responsibility as a husband in how I influence my wife. Just like you were saying, you have a responsibility. Like the Bible calls the wife a helpmeet, you know, a perfect helper. She has an influence in my life. But again, my spiritual walk is not contingent on hers. Like, I'm
because, good. I was just gonna say, if I'm sitting back and waiting for you to spiritually lead, then nothing's happening because I'm
yes.
When you have your own walk with God,
right?
Like, you're not going to stand before God one day and God's going to be like, "Oh, you're here because you're husband."
Right.
It doesn't work that way. She's got her own faith, her own walk in mm-hmm. Christ. So her wanting to pray for me has nothing to do with my spiritual leadership. That has everything to do with her spiritual walk with God. Her wanting to teach my children about God, her wanting to be in the Bible, her wanting to teach the kids the Bible, that's all her personal spiritual walk with God, which she should have. And again, I can influence it. I can encourage it. I can build it up. Or I could also try and tear it down. That's what, because we have this influence in each other's lives. So I think spiritual leadership is something much more than just, I'm the one who prays. I'm the one who reads the Bible. That's not true. Spiritual leadership, there's so many other big decisions in life. Like, what are we doing as a family? Where are we going? Where are we moving? How are we involved in church? How do we engage as a whole unit? I think those things should be landing on a larger scale on the shoulders of husbands as a spiritual leader. Now, if a husband's not spiritually leading, the wife has still been called to specific things in the Bible. And again, that goes back to her relationship with God. So I would say if a wife's wondering like, well, I don't feel like I have the right to go like lead in this. Mm-hmm. And she's misunderstanding her own relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's not that she has a right or not a right. She is called to pray. That's what God calls the church to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Love that. No, it's so good. And I think it's true. Like, and like you were saying earlier, like your heart for marriage, right? Like thinking of, you know, what your marriage is called to do in the kingdom, right? And looking at that as an individual as well and being like, okay, am I helping our marriage be what it needs to be? Like, am I doing my part to have a marriage on mission, like for the Lord, right?
Yeah.
So
I also want to add just a little bit of a warning for whether you're a husband or a wife listening right now, that when we start to look at our spouse in the light of like not living up to an expectation, we need to be aware that resentment and bitterness and frustration don't grow, because then it affects every part of your relationship with them.
Well, intimacy and severed.
How you communicate with them changes. I've noticed that when I'm upset with him, the way I communicate, even on the basic level of like trying to get something done in that day, it's different. It's different than feeling unified and feeling together. Yeah. And so when you feel that start to creep up, pray about it, ask God to change your heart, and ask God for the words to encourage your spouse in that thing. And maybe even just pray for the opportunity to talk about it. You know, being able to talk about spiritual leadership in your home is an important topic. So just asking God to prepare both of your hearts for a conversation like that and that it would be received well. So I just wanted to share that.
Can I add one more note to the spiritual leadership question?
Sure.
Okay. So I was bringing up that we have our individual relationships. And so there's freedom for a wife to have that relationship with God and to walk that out in her home. That's the only way she's going to have the most influence in her husband's life, whether he's an unbeliever or a backslidden believer or, you know, everything in between. But the most, when it comes to spiritual leadership, when a husband, when a father takes on that role and says, I'm going to be a man that prays, I'm going to be a man that reads the word to my kids, I'm going to be a man that teaches them, is not afraid to let them know what the word of God says, is not afraid to get into the mess of things. The most spiritual influence you can have in a home is when a father is doing it. I'm not saying that a mother couldn't. But there's a reason God has called men to so much. And so I think there's when a father or husband is not, it hinders the whole home, even if the mother is doing everything she can in her own walk, which she should. But when a father is, it's powerful and transformative. Mm-hmm. And it gives that, when you were growing up, all you wanted was a father. Mm-hmm. And that's why you dug into God so much, which is good. But how much better would it have been if you had a father leading you in that and loving you in that? And so now when you have a husband and a wife doing that, oh man, this is why we wrote the Marriage After God. It's why our desire for the marriage gift is that husbands and wives would come together and start doing this together and growing this in their lives.
Powerhouse.
Oh man. Yeah. This is that. I mean, it's God's design. Doesn't mean that we're perfect,
yes,
but his design is so much better than what the world offers.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's so good. And such an encouragement, I think, to people listening to be like, no, like we can step up and do this. And to know that, okay, like maybe as a wife, if your husband's not there yet, okay, I can be praying Absolutely. For him
yeah.
to be stepping into this role. And I think there's a real struggle for women, if they are experiencing that, to like nag their husband into it. Right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, like, why can't you just like pray? Like, can you just pray for this? Like, can you just like lead this? Like, that's not going to change someone's heart.
They're not going to be motivated. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
No. But like having that posture of, okay, I will stand in the gap. Like mm-hmm. you were saying earlier, like to help bridge this and help them to step into what God has called them to. Right. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah. And we're told to pray in faith. Like when we, mm-hmm. when we pray, am I praying just to say something to God, but then I'm going to try everything in my own power to make that thing happen?
Right.
Or do I trust the Holy Spirit? I'm praying for you. And however long it takes, I'm going to keep trusting that God's moving. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep trusting mm-hmm. that God can change and that God can work and that God is going to. And just pray in faith. Mm-hmm. When we pray in doubt, the book of James says that person shouldn't expect to get anything from God. If you pray and you're like a wave tossed to and fro, you're not trusting in anything. I think husbands and wives, mm-hmm. wherever you're at, just trust God and truly pray in faith and say, when I'm praying, I'm believing in the God I'm praying to and what he's capable of.
So good. So good. Okay. Where can people find more of your guys' information, find your resources, your books, all that good stuff?
MarriageAfterGod.com is our main hub, and you can find our podcast on there, or you can, if you want to hear our podcast, you can go to any channel that you listen to podcasts.
Just search Marriage After God.
Yep. And then Instagram also, we're pretty active at Marriage After God.
And then for the book, the easiest way to get to it is themarriagegift.com. It's all one word. The Marriage Gift.
Marriage Gift?
The Marriage Gift.
Oh, there, the Marriage Gift. Okay.
.com.
Perfect. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks, guys. This has been amazing. You guys have so much wisdom in how you talk about this, and I love that. Awesome. So we normally close off our episodes with prayer. So would one of you guys be up to doing that?
Yeah, we thought it'd be fun to read a prayer on intimacy from the Marriage Gift. So I'm going to read that.
Awesome. Perfect.
Dear Lord, thank you for the intimacy you created to exist in the bounds of marriage. Thank you for the moments of intimacy we have experienced in our relationship and for the ones we will experience in the future. We are grateful to know we belong to one another. We have a responsibility to fulfill some of each other's needs that no one else in this world has the right to fulfill. Establish our commitment to marriage firmly in our hearts. May our pursuit of an intimate marriage be dynamic and encompass both the emotional and physical elements of this gift. We desire to give our full attention and full affection to one another. Give us courage to embrace togetherness, sharing our hearts, minds, and bodies, even sometimes when we don't feel like it. Holy Spirit, show both of us how to be initiators of intimacy and prepare us to join in and participate when one of us bravely takes that step of initiation. We want to use our time together to understand each other better so that our intimacy reaches a place we have never experienced before. May our closeness, our unity, and our oneness increase and contribute to a thriving marriage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Woo. Love that. Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming on, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Amazing. Love it. Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like our content, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and tell your friends too. Thanks so much for journeying with us today as we tackled the hard questions and dive deep into godly intimacy. Make sure you follow us on Instagram to see more of our content and check the show notes for any links we might have mentioned in today's episode. We're so grateful to be on this journey with you, and we can't wait to see you in the next episode.